Hi, this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. Back again, we have one of my favorite clients, one of the most successful guys that I've ever worked with, a super amazing action taker, an amazing family man. This is a guy who's had some ups and downs, highs and lows. He's going to walk you through what he's learned in the last year, his biggest struggles personally and professionally, about being a busy dad entrepreneur and how he's been able to overcome that with my help and to grow his business faster than ever. So please welcome to the show, Vince Delmonte. This is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio, back with the Italian Stallion. Vinny is such a great guy. He came to one of my workshops in 2007, came to another coaching event in 2015, joined the Empire Mastermind Group, has had huge transformations in his business, moving from fitness entrepreneur over to coach, and he's really going to show you the way today. This is going to be an amazing episode, and it's brought to you by The Perfect Day Formula, my original best-selling book. You can grab your copy at freeperfectdaybook.com. And Vinny is also a huge fan of my new book, The Perfect Week Formula, which you can get at perfectweekformula.com, because I actually took him and his wife through a session down in his office, and it was a real game changer for them. But enough about that. Let's jump into the show and hear from Vinny and how he's changing lives by changing his life. All right, Vince Delmonte, this is going to be real and raw and authentic and vulnerable. Are you okay with that?
You have my permission, yes.
All right, dude. We're going to talk about your biggest struggles of the year, personally and professionally first, and then you're going to walk us through how you overcame them as you're building your team and becoming a great leader in your coaching business. So let's go to the personal side first, man. So this is Vince Delmonte, 3 kids, 7-figure coaching business, impacting the fitness world. Man, you've been doing this for like nearly 15 years online. Man, you are the godfather, but everybody's got their own little struggles where they're stuck and struggling. So on the personal side, what was the hardest thing you had to overcome in 2019?
Our third kid.
Yeah.
It was a war, man. It was crazy. I never could have anticipated how hard a third kid can be.
Okay. So what was the lesson you learned having one? What was the lesson you learned having the second that was different than one? And what was the lesson that you learned with the third one?
Well, one and two, my wife pretty much did everything.
Okay.
I didn't have to kick in. My life didn't change until the third came.
Wow.
So I was able to still go to the gym in the morning, take, you know, my sweet old time in the car, do my IG stories. My world didn't get affected. There weren't many sacrifices until number three. And, you know, not having a great routine and trying to grow this business and having a certain ambition and vision for the business. And, you know, my wife's vision and business, her ambition and vision was not on my business success. She needed me to have a vision and ambition on the family. So we had misalignments on what was most important. What was most important for her was the family to stay stabilized. What was most important for me was I was an empire. You know, trying to grow, trying to make things happen. And at the same time, I have to sacrifice. And it was just, man, oh man, this is hard. So you had to make a decision. Like, what war are we trying to win right now?
So what had to go? What was sacrificed in 2019?
I mean, everyone's going to say, well, if you were committed enough, you know, all that, you know, my nutrition went out the door, a glass of wine, sometimes 2 glasses of wine, sometimes a whole bottle by myself for maybe a year and a half straight. There was
just because you were stressed.
Just stressed. I needed to take the edge off at the end of the day. I'm not eating during the day. Going to the gym, I've never missed workouts. I've always gone to the gym. You always see me in the gym.
Okay.
But it just lackluster effort. You know, there was no intention. There was no ambition.
Well, you started the year thinking you were going to do powerlifting.
To be honest about that though, that actually was probably the best thing I did because I had structure. It was a well set out program.
Yeah.
The problem was they were like freaking almost 2-hour workouts.
Yeah.
But I actually thickened up and I was getting stronger. But you get to a point where your joints become more important and you realize your body's a Lamborghini. Does it make sense to take a Lamborghini through the mud? So that's what powerlifting does to you.
Got it. Okay. So that's great. That's great to know. And then, so it was just a matter of like almost everything in life, communication, getting clear on where you're going, the goal setting. And so now little girl's a year old now.
Brianna. Yeah. We got 6, 4, and 1. And, yeah. Yeah, they're all born in the same month, so they're packed in there.
How do you feel about everything now?
Oh, man, I couldn't do it. Like, Flavia, she's a warrior. Yeah. She truly is. If I were to go...
She had 15 brothers and sisters?
17. She's one of 17.
Wow.
And, you know, she really is strong. You know, she's very strong, but it's... You know what they say? First opposites attract and opposites attack, you know? And we have... she was attracted to me initially for my ambition, for my mission, my vision and all that. But when then a family comes into the picture, the question now becomes, what's most important to you? And if family is truly important to you, you have to make sacrifices, right? So I could have continued to build the business and apply a lot of the stuff I knew, but it would have required a level of effort that would have forced me to work into the wee hours of the morning, wake up earlier, which would have caused Flavia to get crushed because Sue's going to now wake up with the baby and get the kids ready for school. So it's been a constant shifting of like what's most important right now. And that's my new definition of winning. Win stands for what's important now.
Okay.
So like right now, what's important now is to stabilize the family.
Right.
And now that Flavia is engaged with our work and we're starting to, you know, have more clear agreements on roles.
And what do you mean engaged? She's in the business?
She's dug into our numbers.
Oh, okay.
And it's been, you know, a year and a half conversation and, you know, just like, Flav, I really need you, you know, but at the same time, this isn't what maybe gives her full fulfillment. And she's like, I'm helping my husband achieve his vision and success. So we're in that place where we're trying to figure out, but we're doing this together. This is for both of us. And it's like, well, but you'd be working this hard without me. So like we're kind of going back and forth, trying to get real clear on like, what do the roles look like? And as we're getting more clear on the roles, like we can kind of look at it like a football game. You know, I'm one of the key players, you know, what's a key player on the football game?
Like a quarterback.
Quarterback. Yeah. So she's been playing cheerleader and I've been playing quarterback.
Yeah.
And she's been the most amazing wife in the world because she's allowing me to run, you know, all day long. Cause I'm telling her right now, I'm in a championship season right now. And I feel like we're about to win something we've never won before.
Yeah.
And I have to keep letting her know how much I appreciate her being the cheerleader. And she's positioning me to be successful by taking on so much. She takes on the kids. She's looking at her finances now. She takes care of the house. I have like, I have no clue what's going on in her personal life. Like she's like last night, Vince, I told you it's the kids. Last night, I was supposed to meet you guys for dinner last night. I found out, I didn't find out. I decided to listen. She said, I told you this months ago, Amelia has her Christmas play tonight, yet I booked our thing on top of it. Yeah. So I text you a few hours before I can't come. You probably thought,
I thought like, wouldn't you know that your daughter has a Christmas thing?
So you're seeing it.
Yeah.
See, that's what's showing up. So, and that happens on a regular basis. I didn't realize that we got a birthday party for 4 hours tomorrow. And I'm a selective listener because I'm focused on winning somewhere else. So that's kind of I wonder if anyone can relate to this.
Well, hey, listen. So let me give you some advice that I'm stealing from a guy named John Gordon, who I told you about before. And John's a great guy. He's very faith-based. I think he'd be great for his show. John and I had a great conversation. It wasn't a podcast. It was a freaking conversation. It was so good. I'll introduce you to him after. Make a reminder, Vince, who can't even remember his daughter's Christmas party.
It was in my phone.
Yeah.
It's in my phone.
So John Gordon and his family, and you know, we were talking about goal setting and stuff for the new year. And he says, we don't set goals. We simply pick a word. Everybody picks their own personal word, and then the family picks a word. So I think your word for 2020 should be listener. Listen, like if you said to Flavia, my word for 2020 is listen, and then all you did was just like every single day you had that word in front of you. It's on your computer. It's on your screensaver. It's there. And it looks like you got some words for your business.
This was 2 years ago. This was last year. And I haven't selected a word yet for this year. This okay. The church has us pick one word a year. And I don't know.
Oh, so they do 2020. Too. Got it. Okay. So the church is, yeah. So even in your business. So if you become a better listener in your business will grow because now you're listening to your team members. So you're listening to your clients. You know, often as coaches, we are one step ahead of the person. We want to, like before they're done the sentence, we're giving them the information. Well, wait a minute, let's listen to the entire sentence. So if you walked around with the word listen on a bracelet, you know, around your wrist, on your computer, on your phone screensaver, every single day you had a journal and you just remembered, hey, the word of the day is listen. And then, you know, Flavia was just like, hey, Vince, how's the listening going? And you just, you would make a huge difference over the course of the year. It's like somebody, if their word for the year was mindful and, you know, they wanted to have better mindful eating and mindful present, you know, by the end of the year, they'd be better with their nutrition sort of thing. So
it's a great word.
Yeah. So that's really powerful. And I have no idea what we were talking
about. There's no seminars on listening. Everything's on communicating, right? Everything's about charisma. Everything's about confidence. Everything's about exporting, you know, how to close. It's a long lost trait.
But you know, a good salesperson is a listener, right?
That's true.
I think that's one of the things that Xander has taught me is through the sales process. And we've had Xander on the show here a couple times is you ask questions. Most people think about sales. I'm going to go and do this presentation. I'm going to, you know, vomit all the information out and I'm going to convince somebody. No. Good salesmanship is like, hey, you know, I don't know how it can help you. Why don't you tell me what's wrong? And then we can see like if I'm a good fit for you, because I get a lot of leads in. I'm like, I'm not your person. I'm going to send you to my friend, Sharon. I'm not your person. I'm going to send you to Vince. I'm not your person. I'm going to send you to Xander. And I'm just because I'm listening, like, I get tons of leads, but I don't want to work with somebody who's just because they're a lead, but even though they're not a good fit for me, I listen to what their real problem is and I can triage them over to somebody else. And, you know, sometimes I make a commission, so I do make money. Right. Sometimes I don't, and I don't care, because what matters at the end of the day is that I've listened to their problems and I'm not the doctor to solve them, but somebody else is. So I know that we were talking about something to do with family before, and I loved how you use a football analogy when you don't even know the player. Like, could you not have picked something you knew like a tiny bit better?
Well, but I figure a lot of people listening are American and like their football.
Yeah, well, hey, it's totally good. So
the running back, the running back or the quarterback?
Well, the quarterback and the running back. There's a lot of important guys. The guy with the football, Vince.
Yeah.
That guy's important.
That's right. There you go.
So that's great. I mean, that's really powerful. I mean, that's so many people listening, whether they have kids or whether they're about to have kids, they can relate to what you just shared. And that is so amazing. And I'm super grateful for you. So we walked through how you overcame a lot of that. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, I want to just kind of add something there, because I think a lot of guys get really caught up in just like they want to work hard and thinking that you can actually make a lot of progress working hard. But to really get to the next level, and this is important, because to get to the next level, let's say it's business, it doesn't come down to working hard any longer. It comes down to sacrificing.
Yeah.
And you and I have seen people go to even to the extent of sacrificing their health, sacrificing kids, sacrificing marriage in order to get to the next level. So I think during this process, I had to ask myself, if business isn't the only thing I'm trying to grow, you know, I'm not willing to work so hard in business. I wasn't willing to sacrifice the family in order just to keep executing. And I just have to realize I'm in a bit of a season here. So I think it's important to have awareness of the season you're in.
Yeah, that's a great lesson. You'll lose stuff.
You'll make progress in one area and you'll lose progress in another area. And then at the end of the year, the paradox of progress, did you really progress? Because you made headway over here, but you went backwards over here. So did you really progress?
Yeah. I think that was like, you sent us a picture the other day of you, me, and John Berardi at the Christmas party. And whatever year that was when your father taught me about the seasons of life, which I found so fantastic. You know, you're either in the season of family, health, wealth, or, you know, I call it personal enrichment, you know, kind of taking care of community and that sort of stuff. And you're right. Like, at the end of the day, you're going to be in all of them. Like, nobody's sure not in all of them, but you're going to have a focus on it. And I think that's really important to know it and accept it and be okay with it.
Right. Like,
because if you're you want to be an ambitious entrepreneur and you just got married and you just had your first kid, well, listen, something's got to give here. And if you think that you're going to grow a startup from $0 to $10 million in 1 year and your wife is, or your husband is going to be happy, you know, taking care of the kid 99% of the time, you got another thing coming.
It's not a linear thing.
No.
Right? None of the things, nothing just a straight up. It's just a constant, you know, back and forth between skills and character traits that have to get developed along the way, right?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's, oh, I wish it was that straight.
So now switching gears over to the professional side of things, you've got an amazing coaching business. You've evolved payment methods. You've evolved the, what you're teaching in the group. What was the one thing that caused you the most friction this year and how did you overcome it?
I think the volume of individuals in the group, definitely the onboarding process,
was
something that I was struggling with last year at this time, because you've got a lot of people coming in with expectations, managing expectations, and really having a choreographed experience from the sales process to the onboarding process to, you know, the point where they watch their, you know, pregame videos and have their game plan called and how to have them, making sure they know how to communicate when they're stuck and where to post questions. And when you have a big volume of people, to ensure expectations are set prior to, so that when they start to experience it, it's, oh, this is exactly what Vince described. So I think that, like, entire just bringing a new member into the group was a big piece. The second big thing is expectations.
Sure.
Like to build a seven-figure business. Two terms I can't stand, and I don't think you use these terms. I don't think I've ever heard you use these terms. But the whole like concept of like laptop income or the whole concept of side hustle, man. The whole idea that this can be like easy, something
passive
on the side,
is
like,
this is
such
me.
A bunch of BS, man. Like, yeah. This is freaking hard.
Yeah.
So, you know, really letting people know that to get to a seven-figure business, we've identified four levels, and each level has a specific funnel.
Okay.
So there's a level one, which is a very organic method without many sunk costs at all. And it's very, you know, DM based, call based, you know, high profit based. And that's one specific strategy everyone in the group uses to their first 50K.
Got it.
So when people come on board, everyone's working towards this first milestone. And we know we've got, essentially, it's like a product for each one of these levels. Once you get to 50K though, we need a different funnel. We different strategy, different mindset, different tactics. And we have that product, if you will, to take you to 100K. When you get to 100K, we need to focus on different things. That's a different funnel, strategy, tactic. Now we started investing, building a team. Well, where do we start there? And then that's another path until you get to your first 300K.
Got it.
Start doing 25K months. And then when you get to there, again, completely different strategy, tactic, mindset, different type of hiring, different kind of skills. And that's when you make the run to seven. So when people come on board now, they're aware that this is a four-year journey. You know, the top guys, I mean, it took me 4 years to pass the million-dollar mark. For most guys I know, it takes them around, you know, they're just flying for the most part, 3-4 years.
Got it.
So now they're coming in with this mindset, hey, this year, year one, let's try and hit some consistent 4.5K months.
Great.
Because what we're noticing is a lot of people come in with tactics, and tactics – good tactics and bad strategy creates what we've coined a dopamine-based business.
Okay.
Bursts. It's the guy that posts, I just made 30K. And then a couple months later, they want out of the program. I'm like, what the heck? You just posted 30K a month. What happened? Well, they stopped marketing.
Yeah, they stopped marketing strategy. Or they got all the easy sales first. And it's like, now they got nobody else to sell to.
Exactly. So, you know, that we describe that guy as the guy who bench presses 305 once in the gym, and he wants everybody to see him, but he's not doing any injury prep. He's not doing his nutrition. He's, you know, so
he blows his rotator out on that 315.
You never see where that guy go. I thought that guy just did a 315 bench press. I've never seen him in the gym again. So we're really trying to help people understand that we need high strategy and we need high tactics. And, you know, if you have high strategy, bad tactics, that's what's called a very slow and painful business.
Yeah.
That's like, oh man, this is brutal. All right. So, we're trying to help people develop high strategy, which is the long game. A tactical example would be building a YouTube channel, building a podcast. But no one wants to do that because it's so slow and painful. It's like, I got to contact people. I've got to create videos and there's no views on it. everyone just wants to make the quick money. So we'll get people to know we can help you make the quick money, but you'll be out of business within 6 months tops.
Got it.
So now when people are coming into the group, they already understand there's these four levels. We need high strategy, high tactics, or else it's going to be slow and painful, or you're going to, you know, blow something and you're going to be gone within a few months tops.
Got it. Okay. Very, very helpful. You know, one of the things that I've loved, you know, you came to my first seminar in 2007, you've been in the Empire Mastermind, done all this cool stuff, come to so many of my events. I've loved watching your growth as a leader. And I think this year was probably your biggest year as of growth as a leader. So walk us through, what did you learn the hard way? And what are some of the biggest lessons that you can pass on to somebody who wants to be a leader, whether they're the owner of the company or whether they're a manager of the company or whether they want to be a leader at home?
Just so you know, like, Empire changed my life. By far, Empire changed my life. The 2 years was just like completely game changing. I will still, there was so much stuff. Here's what I learned. I won't even just hang on there, because there's so much, like, you guys were teaching stuff to build 8-9 figure businesses.
Yeah.
But I'm not at an 8-9 figure business. So what's the difference? It's not like something you held back. It's my ambition. Mm-hmm. What I learned is that you've given me what I need, but I need to figure out why I want to go to 20 million.
Yeah.
In order to actually develop the character traits to apply those skills that you've given me. You guys have given me the skills. Like, I know what the skills are. The question is do I really want to go there? And that was a big eye opener, because I saw, like, wow, like, I know I need division leaders. I know that. And the question is, am I willing to put in the time and effort to develop a team member? Or am I just comfortable kind of keeping a small, you know, running small time, keeping something simple? And that was really eye-opening, just to be around the guys that you brought into those rooms whose vision and ambition were just so much larger than mine. And I'm like, that's the gap. So I had to reconcile that. And I've had to start asking myself, why do I want 100 mastermind members? Because I'll be comfortable. And I think one of the big issues I see is that people's ambition is good enough to feed themselves. And if your ambition is just to feed yourself, you don't need a coach.
Right.
You could get that on your podcast for free.
Sure.
You can just watch your Instagram stories and get to 10K a month. You don't need to hire, you know, Craig Ballantyne if you just want to make 10K a month. All right. You can figure that out on your own. So I think people's vision is so small, and then they'll go, well, I'm going to take care of my family. Same story. It doesn't take a lot of effort to feed a family.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, you can never have enough money if you want to take care of your family. Like, you know, someone's going to get sick. And what about when, you know, you got the choice between, well, you know, your mom has broken her hip or she's got something. It's like, okay, mom's got to go to a nursing home. Well, mom doesn't want to go to a nursing home. If you have all the money in the world, you can have a person $100,000 a year, full-time care, and mom doesn't have to leave her home that she's lived in. Like, I think about that stuff all the time. And I think when people say, I only need this much money, they're wrong. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to need way more. You're going to want way more money at certain times in your life. And you're not going to be able to have it. Like, for example, our friend Frank in the Netherlands, you know, he's done coaching with both of us. And his father had an injury recently. Frank was able to fly the guy from Portugal, where the injury happened, back to Holland. And, you know, the average person ain't able to do that. And then he was able to get him into a hospital and give him amazing care. And that probably cost, like, I have no idea how much money it cost him. Plus, he was able to spend all that time in Portugal for like 3 weeks. He was able to leave. And he, like, most people can't leave their work. So when people say they don't need that much money, I'm like, hey, you just wait until, you know, something unspeakable happens. I don't want to say anything, but because obviously I don't want to wish any ill on anybody, but hey, life happens.
Yeah. No, you're right. So you asked me, like, what has been the biggest thing in terms of leadership? It's realizing I need a bigger vision and I need an ambition that goes beyond just being comfortable.
Sure.
And hey, look, Flav, we got enough money to go do another development. We do real estate on the side.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, Flav, we got enough to do a second house. It's just, you're thinking about your interest first and foremost, as opposed to how much, you know, if I really expand my vision, maybe I can take care of my church. Maybe I can take care of my community. Maybe I can take care of everyone in my mastermind to the point where they can take care of everyone in their ether. So it's really just expanding the horizons and stop thinking about just covering your own bases. So that was the biggest thing. I think the second biggest thing was I realized that I had a conglomerate of team members. there was nobody all in on Team Del Monte.
Got it.
And if you look back on 14 years, I started May 4th, 2006. That's when I launched No Nonsense Muscle.
Wow, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, I hired my first business coach October 25th, 2005. Huh. And I remember, if you look back on the last 14 years, I've had great people on my team, but nobody was all in. Yeah. I had this guy, but he was working with a bunch of other guys. Sure. I had this guy, but he's also working with so-and-so. And I'm like, nobody's all in on Team Del Monte but me. Yeah. And I realized that I needed to start, I come to HQ up in Empire and I start to see like, you know, Bezos has got, everyone is all in on his vision. Nobody's got a side hustle.
Yeah, he hates part-time work.
And I'm like,
you get part-time results, you get part-time people.
So that was a huge, I need division leaders. And another big thing, we'll give Bezos one more big prop here, was something he identified with me is that I was getting frustrated with some team member performance. And I guess he had the same experience. And what we both had in common was that we were hiring people that were not as skilled as us. So we were always the smartest person sure. on the team. And I said, you know, in 14 years, no one's ever pointed that out to me. I said, why do I do that? He goes, I don't know, maybe imposter syndrome. You're afraid that people are going to see like your weaknesses. So
it's very common, man. Everybody to hire at a lower skill level. But Steve Jobs had a really great quote. We don't hire smart people to tell them what to do. We hire the smartest people so they tell us what to do.
Yeah.
And when you're willing to do that, you know, set the ego aside and hire the smartest people, man, and when they're all in, yeah. you combine those two things. Great, man.
And I want to say, you know what, Craig, you really helped me with was you guys just kept me to, you just helped me keep cutting the fat and just stay focused on this group.
Sure.
You know, over the last year, I put preload on hold.
Which is your supplement.
Yeah. My fitness business is put on hold. And then, you know, I was, and looking back, you know, you're around a guy like Joel, right? And you see a guy like Joel start a, the way he would say it is, I rekindled an ebook business
right.
to 20 million right. in a year and a half. And you're like, why couldn't I keep my fitness stuff going and also have my coaching program? And why couldn't I keep my supplement going and also have my coaching program? Why couldn't I keep Flavia's business going and also have a coaching program? You wanted me to get vulnerable. I start to have imposter syndrome. I'm like, man, I guess I'm only good enough. I'm only good to do one thing at a time. And I start questioning my abilities. But you guys knew the reason I work with you guys is because you know me
yeah.
and you know that I have a family, you know my values, and you were giving me advice in context to the season you knew I was in. When I showed up at those events, you could tell sometimes I was stressed. I wasn't eating. You're like, Vince is in a, he is in a different season that if we tell him, you know, find someone to run preload and keep running the fitness business, he's going to lose it all.
Yeah.
Like you guys helped me stabilize my life and grow something and now position myself to have the skills and the knowledge to perhaps maybe next year, now that we have more capacity to rebuild my fitness business. But if I was trying to do that at the same time, I would have lost everything.
It's like the old saying, build a house on solid rock or you build a house on sinking sand. And if you don't have the foundation, the coaching business had to be solid rock before you can then go and build another level on it.
Right.
The way that you were trying to build it, the coaching business was still sand. It wasn't solid. You couldn't go and build preload on top of it. You couldn't go and then rebuild the fitness business on top of it. The bottom, the most important thing had to be that solid rock. And you had that in place then.
And I think one thing you guys really just kept emphasizing was you focus on grows. And I think a reoccurring theme at every event was a great quote from Craig Groeschel, pastor of Life Church TV, is with growth comes complexity, and complexity kills growth. And what you guys helped me do is just constantly simplify. And I still remember our very first meeting when you introduced me to IG Stories. And now it's like a skill we teach in a $1,000 course. And, I always tell people, I don't know if you're going to get the most out of this because I paid $50,000 and it was just another level of,
You 4X'd your return once you start like in a week though, like, cause you like, we put the numbers together. It's like $182,000 in revenue you got from when you started just using my simple story stuff.
Oh yeah. Your stories was like to this day. And it's now like, getting better at the stories.
Yeah.
And it's developing the mindset that it's the skill to, for the skill to become more proficient and effective, my mindset has to continue to evolve. That simplicity is the answer.
Right.
But if my mindset is things need to get more complicated, then I'm going to go try LinkedIn, or I'm going to go try something I suck at. I don't even want to do, but it's like, no, I just need to show up and get better. And then that will make this skill of IG stories amplify. I'll be able to go deeper with it and the dollars will go up.
Yeah.
But my mindset had to be altered that to make more money, it doesn't have to get more complex. It has to stay simple. So if I didn't evolve and I didn't see you maintaining a simple business and doing these simple strategies, I would have thought, I've already taken IG stories as far as I can, yet IG stories continue to be the thing that keeps the pipes full. And to be honest, like, they're too full right now.
Yeah. You know, the one thing I was thinking when we started this is it's just going to be a couple of old white guys talking about first world problems here. Now I got too many people coming into my business. Yeah, well, great. I got too many amazing kids. I got, you know, my wife is too awesome, and that's great. And I want everybody listening to have the same sort of first world problems. And it's amazing that Vince is talking about it. Now, the thing that I've noticed, you've kind of touched on, having people all in, but you and hiring people that are smarter. And now you have two people for sure, minimum two, well, maybe three. You know, you have Richard, you have Kate, who's smart and all in, and you have Corby, who's smart and all in.
Yeah.
So you have dramatically increased the quality of your team. And I can see how that will dramatically increase your revenue and your profits in the next year. So tell us about finding them. I mean, you found them the way that I find people, which is through the network. And then about what they brought to you and how they showed you a ways to think bigger.
Yeah, sure. So Kate was a seven-figure mastermind member, coached her for a couple months, and then she wanted to do something else on her own and let her go. And saw her a few months later on Instagram selling a sales course. And I just, you know, was curious. So I checked out her PDF and it was really good. And I reached out, I said, what are you doing? I said, would you like to come do sales with me?
Mm-hmm.
And she's an extreme action taker, and she's very ambitious. She's very motivated, and she's got that sweetheart personality. Like, she's very servant centered, you know, heart centered, maybe too much, to the point where we have to say, I think we got to call you the anti-sweetheart sales girl instead.
Huh.
So I gave her an opportunity to help me with the six-figure coach group. And she did the coaching on that for season one and season two. And a lot of people were DMing her about joining the seven-figure mastermind. And she quickly said, I want to do sales. And so we realized those are two separate roles. So we pulled her out of that. And she just started showing up as our head of sales. And, you know, from a mutual coach, you know, Taki, I saw that he had one female doing all of his sales. And I like that approach, having one person. And she just started really excelling.
Yeah, Vanessa. He is Vanessa, right?
Yeah.
She's really great.
Yeah. And she just really started excelling. And I think she did 2 or 3 months straight, like 14 to 15 members, which was like, wow. And she was writing, like, you know, she was writing five-figure paychecks for months in a row.
Good.
And then we got into it. We kind of, you know, tweaked a few things in our sales process. It got a little more rigid. And then all of a sudden sales dipped. And, you know, I'm like, what's going on here? And I realized that, you know, we had broke something that was working, which is a much more Grant Cardone style approach to selling, which is just get to the point. So if we can help you do A, B, and C, when do you want to get started?
Yeah.
So what do you need to know today to get going? And we left that. So that was
what you had working at the start.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My sales calls are typically, on average, you know, one guy signed up yesterday in like 6 minutes. He goes, how'd you do that? How'd I do what? We just got to the point. He's like, oh, like, I've been on these other sales calls with all these other business coaches and they're like over an hour. I'm like, what the heck are you talking about? You've been already thinking about it. You just need to make a decision. When do you need to know today to make a decision? They're like, huh. Like, well, if you don't do this, what are you going to do instead? It's like, you're right. All right. Well, you got to stop thinking about it. And you're going to create your own objections if you don't do this, and you're never going to grow. So what would you like to do from here?
Sure.
That's a sales call.
Yeah.
You don't need a freaking, you know, 3-hour phone script. So what happened was I had to start communicating with her and saying, hey, what's up? Like, you're not going to like your paycheck this month.
Yeah.
And what we found out is that she was, you know, felt like it was more important for her to follow this new script because that's what we told her to do. And then I remember stuff that I learned in Empire, which is you have to delegate authority to team members to have freedom and to focus on performance and growth. And your job's not to make me happy, but to grow the organization. So having her go all in and just like being in constant communication with her. And when things aren't going well, it's not like, hey man, we need to go find a new sales force. It's, hey, what's up? You know, what's going on? Have a conversation. And okay, that's why. So that, I think just over communication has been the big theme. And I'm not a communicator. Like I've got most of my relationships are, you know, what's the word? Like kind of superficial, transactional. Like I don't have a lot of deep, like super deep relationships in life.
You do?
No, you don't? I don't. I have a lot of relationships, but like Flavia will, you know, she'll talk to someone for 3 hours about, you know, just the small stuff. I'm the guy that kind of gets a little bored. If we're talking about business, I can talk forever.
Sure.
But that challenge of developing more intimate relationships has been showing up in my business because it's like I'm working with people and if they're going through something, for them to get to the next level, I have to invest in them and listen to them. And for me, that's uncomfortable.
Well, hey, what's the word of the year, bro?
Listen. Yeah. So, my family would all acknowledge that. They're like, you know, Vince is sometimes he's present. Sometimes we have no idea where his head's at. He's there, but he's not there. So, realizing that my own character traits were showing up in business and I need to spend more time with my team and, you know, just get real clear on where they're at has been probably the most interesting, exciting, and just, you know, really most fulfilling thing because I'm developing as a person. I'm like, wow, everyone's making themselves more vulnerable in the process. And by, you know, going more vulnerable, you create a safe environment for people to, you know, feel like everyone here's got my back and now I want to perform not out of, you know, fear, but out of like, in, you know, motivation, like, wow, what an opportunity we all have to do something here together.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's interesting. And I would say that if you go all in on listen in the next year, your business will grow. Your people will notice, your relationships will get stronger. I think that would be huge for you, man. And I think that Bedros would, you know, if he was sitting here, he would wholeheartedly agree that Vince needs to be in a season of listening, you know, for sure, for sure. So we've talked about building team, becoming a better leader. And
can I talk about Corby, by the way?
Yeah, for sure, man. For sure.
He's, so I think that's going to be a fascinating story. Long story short, he asked me about the opportunity.
Oh, great, man.
And I first thought I can't afford him.
Yeah.
And then I realized
you can't afford not to have him.
That's exactly right. And, you know, one of the things that we put in our unpolitically correct job posting, which I guess Xander did, but he told me that he learned it from you and he modeled yours.
Oh, yeah.
Unpolitically correct job posting, which is brilliant, by the way.
Yeah. No, it's from Matt. It's from Matt Smith. Dude, we've been using that for 10 years.
Yeah. So I guess he saw it. And one of the things reflected a belief, you know, we were also saying, if you have this faith, you'd be a great fit. And I guess that pulled him in. So I think one thing that you guys have always been prolific on is be strong and confident in your beliefs and to not water down who you really are. And, you know, I think one of the big things I've learned this past year is that people don't buy coaching. They buy coaches.
Yeah.
They don't buy.
Romans always said that too.
Yeah. They don't buy what you do. They buy who you are. And I think I've just been much more just naturally, you know, conversational and, you know, leading with who I am. And I talk about my faith and my upbringing and the church I go to and everything. And it's who I am. So why wouldn't I talk about it? So that's been really big because that's what's ultimately attracted people into my world. And that's something we're going to obviously, you know, that's not a tactic. That's just being unapologetic about knowing who you are.
Yeah. 100%, man. That's awesome. Knowing that stuff about yourself and having that self-awareness is so key. So then let's talk about the power of saying no and sticking to your 5%. So over the last couple of years, you've said no to certain businesses and gone all in on the coaching and then built your team, you've had to figure out a lot about yourself. And so what did you have to say no to that was hard? And what do you find is your 5%, which is generally common to most entrepreneurs in their, that it's some of their 5%. How are you able to do that?
Yeah, I'm the ideation man. I've got so many great ideas. And it's funny because when Richard was here for the summer, he said, you should be operating a $100 million business just based on the ideas you have. The problem is that you don't have a team to deploy it. I want to help you do that.
Yeah.
So,
and Richard, give people a background on Richard, 21 years old or something.
Richard, 21 years old. Man, oh man. I mean, that was purely the hand of God.
Yeah.
He reached out to Joel. He wanted an internship with him, our great friend Joel Marion. He persisted for 3 weeks until Joel finally responded. Huh. He was seeking out mentorship. He asked, he kept deleting his message in the DM and then posting it again. So it kept coming on top.
Yeah.
So,
and you know what else he did is he kept on making videos about Born to Impact. Yeah. So everybody listening, okay, you want to connect with somebody. This is a 21-year-old young man named Richard who's going to UCLA. He wanted to be connected with great people, and the results that he's gotten from it are amazing. So he would make videos and tag Joel about Joel's podcast, Born to Impact, which is one of the most important things in Joel's career right now. And he would do this, and Joel would repost it all the time. And then he was sending him DMs. Now, Joel's getting tons of DMs all the time, so he's not seeing them. He can't answer all of them. He's super busy. He's got kids. But he just kept on showing up, and he kept on deleting and then reposting, which, you know, bumps you back up to the top. And sure enough, he got through, and he found a way to show Joel that there was value. And then Joel was like, well, I don't have anything for you, but I know this Vince guy could probably use your help. And then he kept on adding value to you, Vince. And then he got invited to go and be the note taker at the 100 million mastermind that Vince and I are in. Vince and I pay $100,000 a year to be in, and Richard gets to sit in on it for free. All he has to do is take notes. And Richard, your notes are okay, but they weren't that good. you got up your note game. But, you know, so now he's in the room with multiple eight-figure, nine-figure, even billionaire business owners. He's listening to Magic Johnson, the greatest speaker I've ever heard, for free. For freaking free. And
you know he's going to reach out to you and ask you how he can improve now, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like
just, that message is coming any day now.
Right. Right. We'll go over it together. But it's really great what he's done. And so, everybody listening, man, everybody's got their excuses about why they can't get connected to somebody. Well, that kid just showed you how to do it.
Ambition.
Yeah, man.
He's a big, you know, he's got huge dreams. And he has a whole backstory to meeting the founder of Gymshark. For those who don't know, just the other day, Gymshark posted something after Black Friday. They just had their 1 millionth customer.
That's great.
It's freaking insane. And he tracked this guy down in the UK 5 hours. And this story.
The Gymshark guy?
Yeah, the head of it. And it's a whole full blown story on my podcast. But, you know, long story short, he tracked down the CEO of Gymshark, and he was just lingering in the office. He wouldn't leave, and everyone in the office, like, there's this guy, this Asian guy here that's come across the ocean here, and he's been trying to get a hold of you, and we've been telling him, like, you're not coming. And the guy said, like, who is this guy? He met him. He got an hour of this guy's time, and he asked him for one piece of advice. He said, give him one piece of advice. What's one thing you wish you had done earlier on in your career? And he said, take bigger risks. He said, dream bigger and take bigger risks.
Yeah.
Dream bigger and take bigger risks. So he's really taken that to heart. And one of the risks Richard took was he came here and he worked for me for free all summer. He lived here. He lived broke. And he's been waking up at, 5:30 his time every day to actually earlier than that, because he's operating early on our Eastern time zone. Something like 4:30 in the morning, maybe even earlier. And he's making tremendous amounts of sacrifice to continue to provide value. And, that's just the kind of guy he is. So I think, Richard has been a guy that has led with value. He's got high ambition. He wants to make positive change. And, he's a product of the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
So sure.
I'm like, where's all these traits coming from? I'm learning so much. And, you know, he's like, oh, I study that book. I rip every page out and I like highlight every line. And that's his Bible, How to Win Friends and Influence People. So, having these key team members has really created a different kind of energy. And we've seen, like, for us to continue to grow, we just have to keep finding people who are all in on growing this one thing.
Awesome, dude. Love it. All right. So then that allows you to just focus on your ideas and your strategy. And then, but you obviously you come up with a ton of ideas. So how do you say no to, how do you run them through a filter?
Yeah, that's, I mean, you guys have helped me more on, you guys are the best at this.
Yeah.
Like you guys, this is like your guys' superpower, identifying what will 10X the business and what will 10% the business. So sure. I think it's, again, knowing what you want to focus on. Like I'm a product of masterminds.
Yep.
Starting with your group back in 2008 and 9, then Bejos's group. And then yep. I joined Ryan Levesque's group and done some stuff with Dean Jackson and coming back to Empire. Like I'm a product of masterminds. It doesn't make sense for me to go all in and sell a course. I'm not a product of courses. Will we eventually sell courses? Yes. But right now, I know the product that resembles the success of my life is the mastermind. So it's interesting. The more we focus on it, the more that next thing becomes, you know, the girl in the nice dress becomes less appealing. You know what I'm saying? When you're investing.
I'm not sure how that that actually works. The girl in the nice dress is always appealing to me.
Well, unless you're investing into the one in front of you who's got a nice dress too.
Right. Yes.
So what happens is you're not.
Look at you dropping wisdom over here. So you gotta pay attention to this. This is the most important stuff.
Here, right?
Yeah.
So what happens is when you put more focus into one thing, like at first I thought we'll have to get the mastermind to this number and then we won't be able to grow it. We'll have to do something else. But now I'm starting to think, huh, maybe we can grow it to 200 members, but it'll need a different setup.
Yeah.
So I think the big thing that you helped me really identify is that I've spent a lot of time chasing pennies while walking over dollar bills.
Yeah.
I've spent a lot.
Stepping over dimes, people step over dollars to pick up dimes. Step over dollars to pick up dimes. And that's like when people, you know, drive an extra 5 minutes to get cheaper gas.
Yeah.
That is the most ridiculous. I mean, that is an average person's approach to life. I hate it when people talk about the price of gas. It absolutely drives me freaking insane that you would even consider like a penny difference in the price of gas. If you think you are going to save your way to riches, you are so out of it. You wouldn't be listening to this podcast, basically. But
well, those are the people who are walking, and then they're taking the bus, then they're riding the bike, then they're walking.
Yeah, I got to get this gas. Like, you're insane. You're insane, you know? And it's, or like, hey, I'm going to save $500 on this TV. Well, why don't you just not buy the TV? I'll save you like $4,000, you know? Or
watch the right TV shows to get inspired so you can go buy a bigger TV.
Yeah. So don't in your life be stepping over dollars to pick up dimes. And that goes from everything from your behaviors to your actions, to your mindset, to your big ideas. And so that is super, super killer. Last thing I want to ask you, Vince.
Can I add one more quick thing?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I think that comes down to really understanding, like, what is your number one money-making activity? You know, like,
yes.
You know, I'm going to ask you this question. I got two questions I'm going to ask you. I'm going to put you on the spot though on my podcast. And these are two questions most people can't answer. And you have to know, if I could only spend 1 hour a day growing my business, what would I do? What is the most leveraged activity that will produce the greatest amount of income? We recently had a girl just join our group because she's like, I only have an hour a day. I don't think this is the best time to start my my business.
I build a six-figure business working 15 minutes a day. Like, it drives me freaking nuts,
it's
man.
Like, I'm like, that's actually great. To be honest, an hour might be too long.
That's right. Oh, good. Like, good. You get 15 minutes to go to the coffee shop.
Right? It's like the athletes in university who beat up the people that aren't training 2 hours a day and competing on the weekends because they have less time to manage. So they're more productive.
Right.
So I think, you know, you look at muscle building, same thing. When I see a guy have to do 400 side lateral raises to build his shoulders, you're clearly not doing it properly.
Yeah.
If you need 400 reps, that's not impressive. That's actually means you don't know how to contract the muscle. If you can build your shoulders on half those number of reps, that's the guy I want to learn from.
Yeah.
And that's why I come to you guys, because you guys teach how to get the maximum output and not what to do, but how to do it well. So I think the big thing this year too has just been knowing what do I need to do better? And I just, one more thing before you ask your last question, you know, when I went out to Elevation Church, fastest growing church in the world, Pastor Stephen Furtick is just, in my opinion, the most effective communicator in the world. And, you know, last year the church brought in $76 million. This is public knowledge. Churches have to reveal what they earn. And I went to the church and I got a backstage pass to see their operations. And first of all, they're like operations at rival CNN. They have like 17 or 20 locations going at one time out of this one room, airing at campus churches. And I met their social media team, 20 people on their social media team, 20 people doing just video production. You know, you hear about, you know, some guys and they got two full-time videographers. Elevation Church has 20 people working full-time just on video production. And I said, what's been the number one thing that's grown Elevation Church this past year? Like, are you guys doing paid ads or anything? And obviously there's a lot that's gone into it, but I asked one of the top guys, I was like, can you, if I had to drill you and you had to say one thing, he paused and then he looked at me and he said, Furtick's getting better every week.
Huh. That's interesting.
Furtick's getting better. The message is getting better. He's getting better. And I'm like, I have to learn how to communicate more effectively. And this is what's really forced me just like to start going back to like, how do I communicate? How do I present? What do I say, not say? Eye contact, body language, all these skills that we start off developing, but then we maybe our mindset limits our belief thinking, will it really make a difference? Yes, it'll make a massive difference.
You're a fan of Stephen Furtick, and then you met Carl Lentz at our mastermind.
They're best friends, by the way.
Who, me and Carl?
No, those two guys.
Oh, those two guys.
Yeah, they're like best buddies.
Okay, so what's the difference between Carl and Stephen in how, why does Stephen attract you? You know, maybe it's just because also like convenience here with Elevation Church in Toronto. But what's the difference and what do you like about both? Like, what are the different things you like about both of them?
You know, to be honest, I haven't gone too deep into Carl Lentz's sermons and that.
Okay.
The experience that we both shared together was probably the most I've listened to his sermons. Sure. He's guest spoke at our church, but,
he's a funny guy.
Yeah. I mean, on a physical standpoint, it's funny because Furtick's a bulker. He likes to lift, you know.
Oh, okay.
And Carl Lentz is more...
He's a baller. He likes to play basketball.
Yeah, baller, athletic kind of training. And Furtick's just raw. Like, he speaks right to you. Huh. He really helps you reframe. He's a master of reframing. You know, a lot of the lines I use, like, fear is the path to freedom. The opposition is the opportunity. You know, your troubles are really training. Like, just... seeing the things in your life being on purpose is probably been the most helpful thing. And there's just been so many different things I'm going through that he'll let me see from a different perspective. And, you know, if he were to fulfill this thing I'm asking for right now, then, you know, I wouldn't have to further develop because his plan for me is far bigger. And if his plan for me is far bigger, and he just gave this to me now, I would plateau. So like just re-looking at everything and like, oh, wow. So that's one of his gifts. Like he'll reframe anything you're going through in a different light and from a different perspective.
Great, man.
And
great.
I think that's the one thing I like about him most.
Cool. I got one last question for you, but I want to say like this, in addition to that, is there any other knowledge bomb that you want to share with our listeners right now about stuff you've experienced in the last year? We kind of do these annual podcasts with you.
Yeah, you know, I'm just thinking, I did a little thing this morning on my Instagram and I just see like certain people in our group, like Eric Zapata, who's made $109,000 in 19 months.
Wow.
You know, Guy, a guy from Quebec who's made 90K in the first 30 days and told me when he came on board, you can't do anything that you're doing with your English speaking clients in Quebec. In his French accent, he just saw these limiting beliefs.
Right, right. I got a guy in that area too. He's like, oh, I don't know if it works.
So you know, we've got you know Shauna who just has made $30,000 in the last since she joined in September, and Sue's.
What are you trying to do? You're trying to sell me on joining your group here?
No, I want to make sure they know this isn't like by fluke, but you know, I want people to understand that there's a lot of people at different levels. Some come in before. You always throw me off with those comments. And there's people that go ahead much faster. What's the difference?
Okay.
They have access to the same coaching, the same events, the same membership portal. They get the same everything. What's the difference? And the difference is ambition. One person is more hungry, right? And the person that accelerates through the different income levels versus someone who's stuck, the only difference is one person's more hungry than the other person, right? One person's got a bigger appetite. One guy wants to feed himself. Another guy wants to feed the family, right? One guy wants to feed the family. Another guy wants to feed the community. One guy wants to feed the community. Another guy wants to feed the entire city. So the difference is ultimately how hungry are you? And when you can identify the reason why you want to be more hungry or you need to be more hungry, that's when you actually take the stuff in front of you and run with it. So I think a big learning this year was seeing, you know, there was a phase where we were having some retention things and people were coming and going, and I started questioning my abilities, and we realized it was more just bringing people in, not setting expectations properly and not really helping them see that the deciding factor in their success was not a strategy. It wasn't a tactic. You got that. You can find strategy, tactics, and motivation on YouTube for free, or podcasts, or you can go to events. The difference is how hungry are you? And are you in an environment that fosters that hunger, right? If everyone in your gym is content with 15-inch arms, you're never going to train harder to increase your appetite to eat more calories to force that growth. So it's the same thing in business. And I think we just got a lot of people who are super hungry, and other people are now just getting pulled along.
How much of a factor is it that your hunger is increased in the success of the clients that you attract, and the hunger that they have?
Massive. Because I think back to, when my fitness business hit a peak and, it was just under $2 million. And I remember talking to Joel and a lot of guys that we know were starting to make those surges to eight figures and guys going beyond that. And I remember Joel told me, here's what you need to do to keep up. You need to get a data analysis guy to give you data so you can make decisions to scale. And the reason your business isn't growing, Vince, is because you're trying to make money on the front end. Yeah. But the reason we're all going ahead is because we're willing to go in the hole. So I had the knowledge back then, but I wasn't willing to do that.
Sure.
Now I'm 10 times hungrier. The same advice Joel just gave me when I joined the $100 million mastermind is now going to work. The advice is the same, but now my hunger level's higher. And now there's more on the line, because what's on the line? I mean, I spent 2 years, with you guys, and people see that in the public eye. I'm like, crap, I don't want to be one of these guys that just keeps gaining knowledge and isn't actually growing. And I'm like, crap, my reputation, my credibility is on the line right now. So I'm putting myself in these situations. I'm putting pressure on myself to get to the next level. I think that's the biggest thing, man.
Well, we're seeing it, dude. We're seeing it. It's amazing what you are doing. So loving it, loving it, loving it. So now the question that I ask at the end of all my shows is, I'm going to ramble a bit here to give you time to think about it. But up front, the question is, if there was one question that people could ask themselves every single day in your voice, they would wake up and they were to go, oh, you know what? I got Vince's voice in my mind and he's asking me that powerful question that I need to think about every single day. That's what I want you to come up with in a couple of seconds here. And the reason why I say that is because I often will think, what would Vince do? What would Joel do? What would Bedros do? What would Shanda do? What would Sharon do? For my mentors, I even have a list of 10 questions from people like the people that I just listed, plus Jason Capital, plus Mark Ford, plus Grant Cardone. And I ask these questions to myself every day. I actually journal them out. I have these 10 questions and I always answer them, sometimes a different topic. And it's actually been super valuable to me. And I think that if people listening could have you as a mentor just through one question every single day, It would deliver incredible value to them. So
that's a freaking good question, Craig.
Yeah. It's fun. It's like, cause like Lewis Howes always had, what's your definition of success or greatness that he would ask it. And a lot of people have that on their shows. And I didn't want to come up with something just as a gimmick. And I realized this is more than just a gimmick. It's like, this is great mentorship. This is free mentorship from really smart people. You know, for example, like John Gordon said, what really matters? Mm-hmm. That's all you have to ask yourself. So what's yours?
I got it, man. And the way Grant Cardone would say this is, who's got my money?
Yeah.
The way I would say this, and again, I think that this is just a really nice summation of everything I've learned from everyone in my life, and kind of combines it all into one statement, one question. What's important now?
Yeah. What's important? The win.
The win. Yeah. To be able to identify what a win is, and to just know, like, hey, right now, a win is to spend 15 minutes on the floor with my kids.
Yeah.
That's what's important now. It's date night. What's important now? To be present in this conversation. What's important now in the gym? I gotta get this 4 plates on each side off the floor.
Yeah.
Just to know what is important right now. Because what that question does is it helps you identify what's constraining growth.
Got it.
And now the whole frame becomes, if I don't do this, will it prevent me from growing in this area? Because if I don't get down on the floor right now and spend 15 minutes with my kids, who knows what's going to happen when they're teenagers?
Got it.
Because daddy was never around. If I don't invest in this conversation right now with my wife, what's going to happen? So what's important now, and not being able to see it from this, and being able to see it from the standpoint, if I don't do this, this will be in fact the thing that doesn't allow me to go forward.
Awesome. Powerful stuff, my dude. You dropped some amazing knowledge. Grateful for you, my man.
Yeah, me too, man. I'm grateful for you, Craig. Thank you.
Awesome, man.
Man, that was a lot of fun. I could talk to Vinny all day long. He really, really gave me some powerful insights on how to improve my own business and improve my own personal life. I just love his commitment to his faith, his fitness, his finances, his family, most importantly, his family, because that's really what it's all about. So Vince, my man, thank you for being the inspiration that has changed my life in many ways. And I'm grateful to have you. And I can't wait to have you back next year for round 3 of our interview series. All right. So everybody, let me know what you thought of today's show. What do you think of Vinny's feedback, his advice to me? I would love to hear from you. Drop me a note at support@earlytorise.com or on Instagram @RealCraigValentine. Head over to iTunes, give us a 5-star review. And if you want to be like Vince and get coaching from me, then also send me a direct message on Instagram @RealCraigValentine or go to CraigValentine.com to fill out the application. I'll see you on the other side.